abide, weep not, but go your way. Eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions to them for whom naught is prepared. For the joy of your Lord is your strength. I am returned to man's soul with mercies, and my name shall be set up, exalted, and magnified by it. He also took these inhabitants and kissed them and laid them in his bosom. Moreover, he gave to the elders of Mansoul and to each town officer a chain of gold and a signet. He also sent to their wives earrings and jewels and bracelets and other things. He also bestowed upon the true-born children of Mansoul many precious things. When Emmanuel the prince had done all these things for the famous town of Mansoul, then he said unto them, first, wash your garments, then put on your ornaments, and then come to me into the castle of Mansoul. So they went to the fountain that was set open for Judah and Jerusalem to wash in, and there they washed, and there they made their garments white, and came again to the prince into the castle, and thus they stood before him. And now there was music and dancing throughout the whole town of Mansoul, and that because their prince had again granted to them his presence and the light of his countenance. The bells also did ring, and the sun shone comfortably upon them for a great while together. The town of Mansoul did also now more thoroughly seek the destruction and ruin of all remaining Diabolonians that abode in the walls and the dens that they had in the town of Mansoul. For there was of them that had, to this day, escaped with life and limb from the hand of their suppressors in the famous town of Mansoul. But my Lord Will was a greater terror to them now than ever he had been before. For as much as his heart was yet more fully bent to seek, contrive, and pursue them to the death, he pursued them night and day, and did put them now to sore distress, as will afterwards appear. After things were thus far put into order in the famous town of Mansoul, care was taken and order given by the blessed Prince Emmanuel that the townsmen should, without further delay, appoint some to go forth into the plain to bury the dead that were there, the dead that fell by the sword of Emmanuel and by the shield of the captain Credence, lest the fumes and ill savors that would arise from them might infect the air and so annoy the famous town of Mansoul. This also was the reason of this order, namely, that as much as in Mansoul lay, they might cut off the name and being and remembrance of those enemies from the thought of the famous town of Mansoul and its inhabitants. Chapter 17. So order was given out by the Lord Mayor, that wise and trusty friend of the town of Mansoul, that persons should be employed about this necessary business. And Mr. Godly Fear and one Mr. Upright were to be overseers about this matter. So persons were put under them to work in the fields and to bury the slain that lay dead in the plains. And these were their places of employment. Some were to make the graves, some to bury the dead, and some were to go to and fro in the plains, and also round about the borders of Mansoul, to see if a skull or a bone or a piece of a bone of doubter was yet to be found above ground anywhere near the corporation. And if anywhere found, it was ordered that the searchers that searched should set up a mark thereby, and a sign, that those that were appointed to bury them might find it and bury it out of sight, that the name and remembrance of a Diabolonian doubter might be blotted out from under heaven, and that the children and they that were born in Mansoul might not know, if possible, what a skull, what a bone, or a piece of a bone of a doubter was. So the buriers and those that were appointed for that purpose did as they were commanded. They buried the doubters and all the skulls and bones and pieces of bones of doubters wherever they found them, and so they cleansed the plains. Now also Mr. God's Peace took up his commission and acted again as in former days. Thus they buried in the plains about Mansoul the election doubters, the vocation doubters, the grace doubters, the perseverance doubters, the resurrection doubters, the salvation doubters, and the glory doubters, whose captains were Captain Rage, Captain Cruel, Captain Damnation, Captain Insatiable, Captain Brimstone, Captain Torment, Captain No Ease, Captain Sepulchre, and captain past hope. And old incredulity was, under Diabolus, their general. There were also the 7 heads of their army, and they were the Lord Beelzebub, the Lord Lucifer, the Lord Legion, the Lord Apollyon, the Lord Python, the Lord Cerberus, and the Lord Belial. But the princes and the captains with old incredulity, their general, did all of them make their escape. So their men fell down slain by the power of the prince's forces, and by the hands of the men of the town of Mansoul. They also were buried, as is afore related, to the exceeding great joy of the now famous town of Mansoul. They that buried them buried also with them their arms, which were cruel instruments of death. Their weapons were arrows, darts, mauls, firebrands, and the like. They buried also their armor, their colors, banners, with the standard of Diabolus, and what else soever they could find that did but smell of a Diabolonian doubter. Now when the tyrant had arrived at Hellgate Hill with his old friend Incredulity, they immediately descended the den, and having there with their fellows for a while condoled their misfortune and great loss that they sustained against the town of Mansoul, they fell at length into a passion, and revenged they would be for the loss that they sustained before the town of Mansoul. Wherefore they presently call a council to contrive yet further what was to be done against the famous town of Mansoul, for their yawning paunches could not wait to see the result of their Lord Lucifer's and their Lord Apollyon's counsel that they had given before, for their raging gorge thought every day, even as long as short for ever, until they were filled with the body and soul, with the flesh and bones, and with all the delicates of Mansoul. They therefore resolved to make another attempt upon the town of Mansoul, and that by an army mixed and made up partly of doubters and partly of bloodmen. A more particular account was now take of both. The doubters are such as have their name from their nature, as well as from the land and kingdom where they are born. Their nature is to put a question upon every one of the truths of Emmanuel, and their country is called the land of doubting. And that land lieth off and farthest remote to the north, between the land of darkness and that called the valley of the shadow of death. For though the land of darkness and that called the valley of the shadow of death be sometimes called as if they were one and the selfsame place, yet indeed they are two, lying but a little way asunder, and the land of doubting points in and lieth between them. This is the land of doubting, and these that came with Diabolus to ruin the town of Mansoul are the natives of that country. The blood men are a people that have their name derived from the malignity of their nature, and from the fury that is in them to execute it upon the town of Mansoul. Their land lieth under the Dog Star, and by that they are governed as to their intellectuals. The name of their country is the province of Loath Good. The remote parts of it are far distant from the land of doubting, yet they do both butt and bound upon the hill called Hellgate Hill. These people are always in league with the doubters, for they jointly do make question of the faith and fidelity of the men of the town of Mansoul, so are both alike qualified for the service of their prince. Now of these two countries did Diabolus, by the beating of his drum, raise another army against the town of Mansoul, of 25,000 strong. They were 10,000 doubters and 15,000 blood men, and they were put under several captains for the war, and the old Incredulity was again made general of the army. As for the doubters, their captains were 5 of the 7 that were heads of the last Diabolonian army, and these are their names: Captain Beelzebub, Captain Lucifer, Captain Apollyon, Captain Legion, and Captain Cerberus. And the captains that they had before were some of them made lieutenants and some ensigns of the army. But Diabolus did not count that in this expedition of his. These doubters would prove his principal men, for their manhood had been tried before. Also the Mansoulians had put them to the worst. Only he did bring them to multiply a number, and to help, if need was, at a pinch. But his trust he put in his blood men, for that they were all rugged villains, and he knew that they had done feats heretofore. As for the blood men, they also were under command, and the names of their captains were Captain Cain, Captain Nimrod, Captain Ishmael, Captain Esau, Captain Saul, Captain Absalom, Captain Judas, and Captain Pope. 1. Captain Cain was over two bands, namely the zealous and the angry blood men. His standard bearer bare the red colors, and his scutcheon was the murdering club. 2. Captain Nimrod was captain over two bands, namely the tyrannical and encroaching blood men. His standard bearer bare the red colors, and his scutcheon was the great bloodhound. 3. Captain Ishmael was captain over two bands, namely the mocking and scorning blood men. His standard bearer bare the red colors, and his scutcheon was the one mocking at Abraham's Isaac. 4. Captain Esau was captain over two bands, namely the blood men that grudged that another should have the blessing, also over the blood men that are for executing their private revenge upon others. His standard bearer bare the red colors, and his scutcheon was one privately lurking to murder Jacob. 5. Captain Saul was captain over two bands, namely the groundlessly jealous and the devilishly furious blood men. His standard bearer bare the red colors, and his scutcheon was three bloody darts cast at harmless David. 6. Captain Absalom was captain over two bands, namely over the blood men that will kill a father or a friend for the glory of his world, also over those blood men that will hold one fair in hand with words till they shall have pierced him with their swords. His standard bearer did bear the red colors, and his scutcheon was the son pursuing the father's blood. 7. Captain Judas was over two bands, namely the blood men that will sell a man's life for money, and also those that will betray their friend with a kiss. His standard bearer bare the red colors, and his scutcheon was 30 pieces of silver and the halter. 8. Captain Pope was captain over one band, for all these spirits had joined in one under him. His standard bearer bare the red colors, and his scutcheon was the stake, the flame, and the good man in it. Now the reason why Diabolus did so soon rally another force after he had been beaten out of the field was for that he put mighty confidence in this army of blood men. For he put a great deal more trust in them than he did before in his army of doubters, though they had also often done great service for him in the strengthening of him and his kingdom. But these blood men, he had proved them often, and their sword did seldom return empty. Besides, he knew that these, like mastiffs, would fasten upon any, upon father, mother, brother, sister, prince, or governor, yea, upon the prince of princes. And that which encouraged him the more was, for that they once did force Emmanuel out of the kingdom of universe, and why, thought he, may they not also drive him from the town of Mansoul? So this army of 25,000 strong was, by their general, the great Lord Incredulity, led up against the town of Mansoul. Now Mr. Prywell, the scoutmaster general, did himself go out to spy, and he did bring Mansoul tidings of their coming. Wherefore they shut up their gates and put themselves in a posture of defense against these new Diabolonians that came up against the town. So Diabolus brought up his army and beleaguered the town of Mansoul. The doubters were placed about field gate, and the blood men set down before eye gate and ear gate. Now when this army had thus encamped themselves, Incredulity did in the name of Diabolus, his own name, and in the name of the blood men and the rest that were with him, send a summons as hot as a red-hot iron to Mansoul, to yield to their demands, threatening that if they still stood it out against them, they would presently burn down Mansoul with fire. For you must know that, as for the blood men, they were not so much that Mansoul should be surrendered, as that Mansoul should be destroyed, and cut off out of the land of the living. True, they send to them to surrender, but should they do so, that would not stench or quench the thirst of these men. They must have blood, the blood of Mansoul, else they die. And it is from hence that they have their name. Wherefore these blood men he reserved, while now that they might, when all his engines proved ineffectual, as his last and sure card, he played against the town of Mansell. Now when the townsmen had received this red-hot summons, it begat in them at present some changing and interchanging thoughts, but they jointly agreed in less than half an hour to carry the summons to the prince, the which they did when they had writ at the bottom of it, "Lord, save Mansell from bloody men." So he took it and looked upon it and considered it, and took notice also of that short petition that the men of Mansell had written at the bottom of it, and called to him the noble Captain Credence, and bid him to go and take Captain Patience with him, and go and take care of that side of Mansell that was beleaguered by the blood men. So they went and did as they were commanded. The Captain Credence went and took Captain Patience, and they both secured that side of Mansell that was besieged by the blood men. Then he commanded that Captain Good Hope and Captain Charity and my Lord Wilbywill should take charge of the other side of the town. "And I," said the prince, "will set my standard upon the battlements of your castle, and do you three watch against the doubters." This done, he again commanded that the brave captain, the Captain Experience, should draw up his men in the marketplace, and that there he should exercise them day by day before the people of the town of Mansell. Now this siege was long, and many a fierce attempt did the enemy, especially those called the blood men, make upon the town of Mansell. And many a shrewd brush did some of the townsmen meet with from them, especially Captain Self-Denial, who, I should have told you before, was commanded to take the care of Eargate and Eyegate, now against the blood men. This Captain Self-Denial was a young man, but stout, and a townsman in Mansell, as Captain Experience also was. And Emmanuel, at his second return to Mansell, made him a captain over 1,000 of the Mansellians for the good of the corporation. This captain, therefore, being a hardy man and a man of great courage, and willing to venture himself for the good of the town of Mansell, would now and then sally out upon the blood men and give them many notable alarms, and enter several brisk skirmishes with them, and also did some execution upon them. But you must think that this could not easily be done, but he must meet with Brutus himself, for he carried several of their marks in his face, yea, and some in other parts of his body. So after some time spent for the trial of the faith and hope and love of the town of Mansell, the Prince Emmanuel upon a day calls his captains and men of war together, and divides them into two companies. This done, he commands them at a time appointed, and that in the morning very early, to sally out upon the enemy, saying, "Let half of you fall upon the doubters, and half of you fall upon the blood men. Those of you that go out against the doubters, kill and slay, and cause to perish so many of them as by any means you can lay hands on. But for you that go out against the blood men, slay them not, but take them alive." So at the time appointed, betimes in the morning, the captains went out as they were commanded against the enemies, Captain Good Hope, Captain Charity, and those that were joined with them, as Captain Innocent and Captain Experience, went out against the doubters, and Captain Credence and Captain Patience, with Captain Self-Denial and the rest were to join with them, went out against the blood men. Now those that went out against the doubters drew up into a body before the plain, and marched on to bid them battle. But the doubters, remembering their last success, made a retreat, not daring to stand the shock, but fled from the prince's men. Wherefore they pursued them, and in their pursuit slew many, but they could not catch them all. Now those that escaped went some of them home, and the rest by fives, nines, and seventeens, like wanderers, went straggling up and down the country, where they upon the barbarous people showed and exercised many of their Diabolonian actions. Nor did these people rise up in arms against them, but suffered themselves to be enslaved by them. They would also after this show themselves in companies before the town of Mansell.